We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn, Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliab and Abba and Le'ibas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshama should have an aliyah. We are in a brand new perek, Mishnah of Perkei Avos, Perek 4, Mishnah 18. You have the source sheets in front of you if you printed them. Otherwise, you can see them as I shared my screen here on Zoom. For those watching on Facebook, I will try to translate and explain everything that we are doing so you can follow as well. So the Mishnah is, I think, very apropos and important for the current situation we are finding ourselves in, although that has been the case so far every week that we have done a Mishnah since the current situation we have found ourselves in has been in. And that might just be because the Mishnayos and Perkei Avos tend to speak to all times and all places and have a message that can resonate no matter where we are. But I think this one I found myself actually referencing in my own head as I've been interacting with people over the past few weeks. It's a very powerful Mishnah in general, and again, I think for these times as well. And the Mishnah states as follows. I entitled the shiur "Bad Timing," and you'll see as well. You'll see why in a second. So the Mishnah states: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, "Al teratza es chavercha b'sha'as kaso. Do not try to appease your friend when he is angry. Nor comfort him at the hour while his dead still lies before him. Nor question him at the hour of his vow, after he took a vow. And don't strive to see him in the hour of his disgrace." So the Mishnah tells us four things not to do. The running theme, let's try to think as we read these four things. What's the running theme behind all of these Mishnayos? So the commentaries are going to discuss it for us. They're going to tell us, but I think we can all intuit it. And if we didn't, maybe my title of the shiur gave it away, is that these are all things that have bad timing to it. We'll see. These are things that at times are great and awesome and amazing and mitzvos to accomplish, but at the wrong time, these are things that can be detrimental. So as we go through the commentaries, we're going to start with focus our talk for today. We'll see how long it takes. We might have to split this up in between two shirim, but we're going to start our main focus talking about the first one. Al teratza es chavercha b'shas kaso. Do not appease your friend when he is angry. And by starting to focus on that and trying to see the main point of what the Mishnah is trying to tell us with that, we'll slowly start planting the seeds for understanding the next three in the Mishnah as well. So the Rambam starts us off here in source number 2 and broadens what the Mishnah is trying to do for us. Perish HaMishnah LaRambam Zemevur V'him Divrei Musar Ba'atavas HaChevros. So the Rambam says these are ethical, moral suggestions, encouragements that all have to do with our social world. These are things that have to do with Bein Adam L'Chavero, things that we interact with others with, and these are what we would call, or what psychologists would call, social intelligence. The ability to discern the proper way of saying and interacting with people in order that we are successful in our interactions with them. Uvachalas hadibor b'mkomo hamo'il. And the Rambam ends off by saying that saying things in the times where they're going to be beneficial, where they're going to help. There are sometimes we're going to tell things that are bad timing. Well, the flip side of that, and it's important to keep this in mind as we go through the Mishnah, is that we want to be able to say the right things at the right time, not the right things at the wrong time, and for sure not the wrong things at any time. Okay, so these are the right things just at the wrong time, and that's why they're problematic. Sforno here in source number 3 elaborates a little bit more. Al teratzes chavercha afal pisha roi letzadik l'shtadal b'tikun chaver. So the Sforno is really spelling out for us is that there is a benefit to what we're talking about here. It is proper for a person, for a righteous person, to try to improve and suggest motivate others to fix them, to help them grow. Ka'amro, as it says, v'hafta l'recha kamocha, that's part of a biblical commandment to love our fellows like ourselves, is to help them improve and grow. Hine ein roi shetishtadol b'kamo eila be'eila azmanim, but now's the wrong time. Right? There's a time to help people grow, and there's a time where helping them to grow is not appropriate. Ki amnam ha'espalus behem hu tiv'i. Now, the Sforno is going to say something very powerful and fascinating, deep psychological insight that might be controversial, and maybe not everybody will agree with. But he says that the emotional reaction that people are having when they are, if you go through the list, when they are angry, when they are in mourning, when they just took a vow, and again, we'll see that as we elaborate what the point of the not trying to talk about the vow after they made the vow, as well as when they are in some level of downfall, the emotional reaction that they are having at that time, hu tiv'i, it's natural, it's biological, if you will. It's not necessarily something they could control. And he says it explicitly, lo ritzoni. Right? It's not part of their will, their decision-making process. They're not necessarily thinking things through right now. They're what Daniel Goleman, who wrote the book Emotional Intelligence, calls, they're emotionally hijacked. Right? They're thinking, they're rational, their ability to make decisions and to listen and to think about long term is really not there in those moments. And you trying to fix that is not going to work because they are now in a hitpa'alut that is tiv'i. They're in a emotionally excited state that they cannot think things through. Second to last line, ve'eino bebechiraso shiyikabo mimcha az. Very powerful statement. It's not in their free will to actually be receptive to what you are saying. They will not be able to accept and listen to what you are telling them. Uvachein lo tasig hamachuban. So they're not going to try, they're not going to take away what you're trying to get them to take away. And even more so, v'ulai tosif kilkul. It might even add to the problem. So not only are you not helping, you might actually be hurting. And even though your heart is in the right place, and even though there's a v'ahavta l'recha kamocha that you want, somebody's angry. So you want to help them. You want them to not be angry anymore. Well, if you don't know what you're doing, if your timing's wrong, if they're emotionally hijacked, and then you try to intervene at that moment, you will fail, and not only won't you help, you very well might actually hurt them, make things worse. Okay, so this is there's a lot on the line here, because we're coming from a good place, and a lot of times we think we're coming from a good place, but if we don't have that social intelligence, if we don't know what the right time is, if we don't know how to handle people when they are emotionally hijacked, then we will fail. Look at source number 4, the Rosh Beitz. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, HaPerush Kol Eilu HaInyanim, Hei Mihilchos Derech Eretz. So as the Rambam stated, so the Tashbeit says as well, all four of these things have to do with Derech Eretz, the way to interact properly in the world. V'harbe Yoser Mizeh Yizkiru B'zos HaMesechta, HaNikres Hilchos Derech Eretz. And he says that Pirkei Avos is about many aspects of Pirkei Avos is about social interactions, and it's referenced, it's called in other contexts, Hilchos Derech Eretz, the laws of how to interact with other people. Shetia Daito Shel Adam Mu'ureves Im Kol Adam, that we want to learn how to interact with people to the point that they like us, they enjoy us, they want to be around us. Kemosha Amru B'Sheni Miksubos, as it says in the second chapter of Ksubos, Kadeshe Tov L'Brios, Yu Kol Dvarav L'Fiya Enyin L'Fiya Makom. We want to be socially accepted and socially impactful, and that everything that we do and we say has a time and a place. Kemosha Amar Shlomo, Simcha L'Ish B'Mana Piv V'Davar B'Ito Matov. It's good to have things in its proper time. Valkein Amar, because of this, Shem Adam Hu Koes Al Timar L'Ritzoso. If somebody is angry, don't run to put out the fire. Don't run to try to calm them down and appease them. Ki Zeh Yosef Kas Al Kaso. He says it explicitly. That'll actually make them more angry. Ki Ve'es Chamimus HaKas Lo Yoel HaSheket HaRitzoi. when you're angry, when somebody has the chamimus, if you remember from last week, we spoke about the koras ruach in Olam Haba, which is the calmness that we want to experience in Olam Haba. Here is the chamimus. The anger is the burning. It's the hotness. It's you're in a hot state. When you're in that hot state, you're not going to be able to calm them down. You're not going to be able to appease them. Right? You can't put, if you have a fire and you put a little bit of water on it, it's not gonna put out the fire. You sprinkle some water on it, it's not gonna work. And that's what Hashem said to Moshe. So Hashem even says it to Moshe. I'm angry now. Don't try to appease me right now. Wait a few minutes. I gotta calm down. Right? So there's a fascinating addition here by the Tashbetz is that what he's adding to the discussion here is that when it comes to anger, if you're trying to appease somebody when they're angry, you're just going to add to that anger. You're going to invalidate them, and you're not going to be able to, and they're not going to be able to be receptive and to listen to you. Their brain isn't there. Their rational parts of their brain, their long-term, the consequences of what they're doing at that moment are not there. As we continue, we're going to have to see, okay, so therefore, what do I do? What is the right intervention? What is the right thing to do? But we're not there yet. Let's see. Rabbi Matasyahu Hayitzari, source number 5. It's a tremendous, I love this mission because it has so much insight, tremendous psychological insight into it. So Rabbi Matasyahu Hayitzari writes as follows. Lefi ma shekadam shahayishara ela iyun hu lis'aneg im anashim ba'ava. Now he's tying it into previous Mishnayos that we've done recently. So we've seen that we should say hello to people. We should greet people with love. And that's important. So now building off of that social etiquette. Hodi anu ze achachem arba dvarim sheyita behem. Sheyachshav banagoso bam bibakasha sa'ava mnei adam vasagasa shu behefech. Because again, it's coming from a good place. We just said, be marba shalom. You should be somebody who says hello to people and greets people nicely. So now you're going to be like a great, good go-getter. You're going to help people. You're going to go and you're going to want to make peace in the world. So he says, but you have to be very careful because there are 4 things that you're going to make a mistake with if you don't think things through. These are again, reading that last line, arba dvarim sheyita bahem. I'm going to make a mistake with these 4 things. Sheyachshav banagaso bam bakashas abba. I want to increase love, as the Sforno said, v'hafta l'recha kamocha. I want to increase love in the world, but these things are dangerous. They're minefields, as it were. And because of that, it's going to end up being the opposite. I'm going to get to the opposite of what I wanted. I wanted love, and instead I'm going to increase hate. And just for now, we'll do the Kas one, both for the Tashbetz of the previous source, Evan Matasyahu Hayitzari in this source. We might come back later to how they deal with the second, third, and fourth things. But now for the first thing, just focusing on anger, Echad, Kisha Adam Koes, 4th line. Lo yifaisenu bedvarim ba'oso sha. Don't try to appease them in that time period, in that time when they're angry. Lefisha az einenu bedaito. They're not thinking. Velo yichnesu dvarim ba'oznav. Their ears are shut. Nothing's gonna get in. And now, there's a fascinating tshuva that he quotes of the Rashba. The Rashba was a Rishon who wrote tshuvos. He wrote commentaries on the Gemaras. So he's living in the medieval times. There was a question that came up where he was asked the following halachic question. Be'isha shahaysa miskotetes imbala. Okay, I've never heard of such a thing. But a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, were fighting. Okay, bifnei rabim. And they were in public. And during this fight, parak tzas rosha vizroaseha v'ktzas tachas roseha. Somehow during this fight, I don't know what the fight was about. I can't visualize exactly what was happening. But during this fight, somehow she became less tznius, as it were. Her hat fell off. She threw her hat on the floor. Let's say, you know, she uncovered her elbows. So she was in public, and she did something that made her in public less tznius than was the halachically acceptable amount. And so now the husband says, okay, now I got, she went overboard. I now can win this fight. Vayarotzelav sidak suvasale. Now let me divorce her. And not when, usually if he divorces her, she's going to have to pay, he's going to have to pay the ksuba. But not if she violates, the halachos of tznius here. So now she violated the halachos of tznius in public. So now I can divorce her and I won't have to give her a ksuba. Okay, you can see that this wasn't necessarily the best marriage to begin with and where everybody's heads are at. But, this is his way out. So, that's what this guy wanted. He wanted to get a divorce and not have to pay. But the Rashba, gets his tshuva, and he doesn't let him get away with it. He has to pay the ksuba if he wants to get divorced. Why? She violated the ksuba. She wasn't allowed to be not tznius. So lefi shebisha'as hakas hi keshote. When she was angry, when people are angry, they're like a shote. They're like a fool. They have no control over their actions. V'amrina ben Adarim, akoas afilu shechina ino chashuva kenegdo. The Gemara in Adarim says when somebody's angry, the shechina is not even important to them. They can burn down the whole world in their anger. V'od shekoma shetipaisenu Yosef bechamaso. And then you're gonna get, okay. So before we continue for a second. So what the tshuva says, and again I'm not a posek, I'm not sure this is something that would apply to all cases, because when you're angry, you do have responsibility for your actions. You can't just say, well, I didn't mean to kill her, Your Honor, because I was just angry and I was a shota and I'm not responsible anymore. That we don't go that far. But at least in this situation where what she did wasn't, killing somebody or doing something terribly crazy, the Rashba says she's not responsible for her actions at that point in time. Again, I'm not saying that's a good excuse for every time you do something when you're angry, but there is something to be taken from this, that at that extreme in actual court, she was given a pass on her actions while she was angry, and therefore the husband had to pay her ksuba. Again, there might have been other factors, but very, very fascinating. So the Matzah Yitzhari quotes that here to show you how extreme it is. When somebody's angry, they're not listening to you. They're not going to necessarily be receptive. And then he continues here. V'od shekoma shetifaisenu Yosef bechamaso. When I try to appease somebody when they're angry, it's going to increase the anger. Something we saw already. Ka'amru gadol chema nosei onesh imatzil lo tosif. Another pasuk in Mishlei that proves this point, that somebody will get more angry when I try to appease them. Kilomar mishu kasan harbe hu muchan liyasurim rabim v'zeh shekol ma shetatzilenu me'achet o shetifaisenu o tosif achema v'tigadel l'zeh yesh lahamten ad hinichu rugzo bo. So he says, because of that, so what's the strategy? So you have to wait. You have to wait. They're going to calm down. At some point, they're going to calm down. So if you want to talk to them, if you think it's going to be appropriate, if you think it's going to be helpful, you have to wait till they start calming down. So that's where Matzah Yitzhari adds to this, the extreme tshuva of the Rashba as to what anger can do. So the Abarbanel here in source number 6, and I know this is sort of like bullet point ideas here, but I think these are all, they all add a little bit and they're all fascinating. The Abarbanel is gonna tie this in and put a perspective on this from the last Mishnah. So remember, the Abarbanel is always going to be our go-to person who ties Mishnayos together. The previous Mishnah we spoke about, for those who remember, and now they are uploaded on YU Torah, so you could catch up. We spoke about the difference between this world and the next world, and we compared and contrasted the benefits that we can attain in this world and the benefits that we can attain in the next world. So what in the world does this have to do with this Mishnah? So the Abarbanel enlightens us, and you can try to think about connections on your own as we start reading this. So the Abarbanel says, Charon apo lo nemar ela apo, melamed shemochelin lo al kol avonosav. Kishur ha-Mishnah, starting with over here, Kishur ha-Mishnah azos, ima kodemes elea kasha li matze. See, even the Abarbanel tells us, It's hard to find a connection between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. At face value, they don't seem to have anything to do with each other. What does this have to do with the discussion between this world and the next world?
That
he says, So what can we do? So we can cheat. And this is what, if you noticed, this is what Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari did. He cheated a little bit. Right, so in this previous source that we did, source number 5, he said, what is this Mishnah connected to? He says, it's connected to 2 Mishnayos ago. Because 2 Mishnayos ago, we spoke about being nice to people, saying hello to everybody. Okay, so that's a connection. Maktim shalom. And here, you know, be careful because these are things that you think are going to be peaceful, but might backfire. Okay, so the Abarbanel doesn't want to cheat, though. The Abarbanel doesn't want to say, let's pretend this Mishnah didn't exist in the middle. No, we have our previous Mishnah was the discussion about this world and the next world. So he says, if we wanted to say that it's going back to having Maktim Shalom Kol Adam, Shoei Sharli Snagim Anashim Ba'ava, because we want to deal with people with love. V'lachen Odia Zeh Achacham Dal Dvarim She'yita Achacham V'yachshuv She'yivakesh Be'am Avas Areyem. So here are 4 things where you might run into problems with. So that there's one Mishnah tells us to be nice to people, and this Mishnah says be careful when you're being nice that there might be a bad timing. So that you can do, and that's what Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari did. They were contemporaries. But he says, so he says, that's too easy, too easy. You can't forget about the fact that we have a statement of Rabbi Yaakov in the middle that has to do with this world and the next world. So how do you tie in the concept of the discussion of the benefits of this world and the benefits of the next world to a discussion of when you say something, make sure you say it at the right time and don't say it at the wrong time? So he says, I'm going to give you 2 different possible explanations. We'll do one of them for now. So he says, Harishon, Sheba'avor Shezachar Rabbi Yaakov, Yafesh Sha'a Achas B'tshuva Maisim Tovim. From last Mishnah, Rabbi Yaakov told us, 1 hour, 1 moment of Tshuva Maisim Tovim in this world is better than the whole entire next world. So because Rabbi Yaakov said that in the last Mishnah, Zachar Rabbi Shimon Sheyesh Gam L'Maisim Tovim Sha'a Bilti Sha'a. So now, so he's saying that now we are jumping off of that. Last Mishnah said 1 sha'a, 1 moment of Tshuva Maisim Tovim is awesome and amazing. And now Rabbi Shimon is saying, but hold on, because there's a time for not that, right? There's a time where Tshuva Maisim Tovim is not appropriate. Okay, so it's not a discussion per se off of this world and the next world, but it's a discussion of the concept of Sha'a Achas. There's a moment, there's a time. There's a time for Tshuva Maisim Tovim, and then there's a time, oddly enough, for not Tshuva Maisim Tovim. It's bad timing right now. Don't try to do Maisim Tovim because it's going to backfire. Kihine, Abarbanel continues, Heyosa Adam Ratzes Chaver Al Kaiso Hu Ma'ase Tov. Me trying to appease my friend who is angry is a good action. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. Aval tsarech shiyeh bizmano haraui. It has to be at the appropriate time. She'ein roi lertzoso b'shas kaso. I can't appease him when he is angry. L'fish aze neno b'daito v'lo yichnesu dvar bozna. As we've seen already, he's not thinking straight. He's not going to listen to you. Aval Yosef kaso al kaso v'rogez al rogzo. But he's going to add anger. He's going to add his anger on the top of the anger that he already has. And he quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Balzeh amar anavi chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama ba'apo ki ba'men nechashev hu. Rotza lomar sheyichtulu mimenu melefaiso ba'ot sheyesh lo charon afet tisgabrus hakas. Don't appease them when they're angry. And then he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei as well. And that's why we have to wait. Okay, so Abarbanel adds here, I think, an important element, right? If you put all these together by the end, we have different little snippets that each commentary is adding to the previous commentary. Here the Abarbanel adds the connection to the previous Mishnah, which is the importance of time, the importance of moments, and here it's the importance of knowing what the wrong moment is. Now is not the right time. Take a break, wait till the person calms down. The Yaivitz here, we'll do this, we're not going to do this whole thing, we'll just do one line here. Also, similar to the Abarbanel, connects the ideas. He says here, L'fisha hizir lirdof acharei ha'maisim ha'ritzuyim la'shem yisparach. Kedov shakol bli matun, hizer ki yesh dvarim tzrichim matun, vim lo ken yasiga hefek machshavaso. We just said that you should go, you know, do things, run to do for God, sort of like an impetuousness. Well, sometimes you got to think things through. Sometimes you got to slow down and make sure that you understand the consequences of your social interactions. Vatzala bahem zrizus. And these are the things you got to slow down and think about. So we're basically giving, according to these commentaries, four different categories of things, of interactions socially, that people are coming from a good place, but are in danger of overdoing it. They're in danger of bad timing. And because of that, there are things that they have to slow down and think through the consequences. And we'll do one more, and then we'll pause for a second to recap and take questions. So the Meiri here, and after this we'll transition into the other ones as well. So the Meiri says as follows. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Al Taratzes Chavercha B'Shas Kaso, Kol Elu Musarim V'Anogos B'Chever La'Sos Kol Davar B'Ito. All of these things, as we've said, are to do things in the appropriate time. Amar Shelo Yiratzeu B'Shas Kaso, Mibnei Sheyedama Be'Einov She'Eino Choshesh Lefseido. Very, very powerful insight here. What's the problem? Why is it that somebody doesn't want to hear what I have to say when they're angry? What's the depth behind that? So far, all we've said is that they're emotionally hijacked. They can't think straight. And to elaborate on that for a second, so what Daniel Goldman explains is that, again, there's some debate about this model, about how this works in our brain, but it's a good model to at least think about. That when we're angry, let's just do simply, we have a few different parts of our brain. Up here is our rational part. Our prefrontal cortex, where we think things through. We think about long-term consequences. It's where our executive functioning is, where I can make decisions and I can control myself and control my behavior. Sort of the what we generally think of as of ourself. It's our thinking ability to make decisions and act on the world in a rational sense. That's the prefrontal cortex. That's up here. Somewhere over here, a little bit deeper down, is our amygdala. Our amygdala is our emotional center of the brain. It's where fear is. It's related to it's related to different sort of the emotional elements of when we feel anxious, let's say, when we feel afraid. So that's generally pointed to the amygdala. So the point that he makes is that if you look at fMRIs, you look at brain scans, is that when you're, let's just go with anxious, but the same is true with angry. The part of your brain that's lighting up is over here, and this part's not, right? The sort of the blood, the energy in your brain is going to the amygdala, and that's the part that's really making the moves for you. It's making the decisions for you, and this part of the brain doesn't have as much impact then. So it's different parts of, that's why he calls it emotional hijacking, is that the amygdala is hijacking your brain, that you can, your prefrontal cortex, your ability to think things through, isn't able to make those decisions anymore, right? So that's one model here, is that our brain is working differently, and this is, I think, what the other commentaries were alluding to, is that when somebody's angry, they're not able, this prefrontal cortex here is not working so well. Right, they can't think things through, they can't think things straight, and anything you try to say is not going to make an impact. The Meiri here is adding another element here as to why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because, this is where he says it over here, Mipnei she'yedame be'einav she'eino choshesh lehefseido. It's invalidating to the person who is angry when you try to appease them. Whatever you're about to tell them when they're angry, you're trying to fix their problem, you're trying to tell them it's not so bad, you're definitionally telling them what they are thinking is important right now is not important. Now, that might be true on some level, at least from your perspective. From their perspective, at this current moment, the thing they're angry about is the most important thing in the world. Right, so if somebody, let's give an example. So let's say my kids are fighting, right? And one of them comes and tells me that that their sibling broke their toy, right? And I say, oh, don't worry about it. It's not such a big deal, right? Yeah, to me, it's not such a big deal, but to them, it's their toy. It's a really big deal. So I'm basically telling them I don't care as much about your toy being broken than you care. That's gonna make me or them, you know, whoever it is, more angry. So it's not just an element of my brain's being hijacked. Yes, that's true, but it's also that the act itself of appeasing is invalidating. And this is, you know, therapy 101. When somebody comes to you and they're angry, don't try to fix the problem, at least right away. It's exactly this Mishnah, is that you have to first listen and you have to first validate, and only if the person feels that you totally get them and know where they are and understand their pain and understand what their loss is and understand what they're angry about, then you can entertain the possibility of trying to address whether or not it's worth trying to decrease that anger. And that has to be done with some forethought and skill as well, but that can only happen after people know that you understand what they are going through. And if you're just coming in as a fixer, whether this is in, again, a spouse relationship, a parent relationship, a friend relationship, a therapy relationship, if you're coming in as a fixer, trying to make things and show that no, it's really not that important what you're being angry about, it won't work. It's just not going to work. So people have to feel that you understand and you empathize and you hear them, you validate them, otherwise it's not going to work. Okay, so that's the depth of what the Me'iri says here. So before we continue with the rest of the Me'iri and the other sources, because these are sort of like the recap on anger before we see the other things that the Mishnah talks about. All right, so what have we seen so far? So we saw that we have this broad framework of the Rambam and others that we're talking here. This whole Mishnah is dealing with social interactions. It's telling us that there are, even though we might be coming from a good place where we want to help people, we want to increase love, we want to increase shalom, these four things are minefields that we think we're helping, but it's bad timing. The mindset of the people in these four settings is such that we trying to help usually hurts, can make it worse. Let's just focus on anger for a second. It could increase the anger when I try to fix the anger. As the Sforno said, they're not able to think things. They're just emotionally hijacked, in our words. It's tivi. They don't even have bechira, as he said. Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari quoted the Rashba, went even further and said that they're not even responsible on some level for what they're doing when they're so angry. And that has to be taken with a grain of salt, because we are responsible in the big picture. We can't just use our anger as an excuse to hurt people. But there's some truth to the fact that you know, we might have some leniency on some level when somebody's angry, at least on a again, a theoretical level. And then the other additions here in terms of how it connects to the previous Mishnayos, whether or not it's the Makdim Shalom, or as the Abarbanel said, there's a time, there's a place, there's a Shah Achas for good things, but sometimes that Shah Achas must be taken into account that it's not a good Shah Achas, it's a bad Shah Achas. And then the broad statements of all of these commentaries, that it's basically just bad timing when somebody's angry, and you try to make them less angry at that time, it's not going to work. It's going to backfire. They're actually, the Medrash Shmuel, we didn't quote here, says that it's almost like a lifnei iver, right? Lifnei iver is the concept that we're placing a stumbling block before the blind, in the sense that when we cause somebody else through our actions to do a sin. So this, on some level, is a lifnei iver, because I am, by me trying to appease somebody, if they're going to get more angry, and I just wasn't, I was sort of not thinking about this Mishnah, I wasn't thinking about this social intelligence, how to interact with people appropriately, then it's my fault that they're getting more angry on some level. So if I try to appease them and then they get more angry, I bear some of that responsibility. Not total responsibility. At the end of the day, everybody's responsible for their own actions, right? But on some level, it's my fault if I didn't think things through well enough. Okay, so this is all in terms of the message for anger. Anybody have anything they want to share? I know it's Zoom, so it's a little less interactive than usual. But feel free if you want to spend a moment to add an insight or have any questions, you can raise your up. Paula, you unmuted yourself. Let's hear it.
You're talking about me?
Yes.
Yes, that even the calmest people could be extremely angry. I have experienced that. And that affects relationships.
Right, for
I'm
sure.
I'm talking about the calmest people could become angry for whatever reason.
Okay, it's a good point. And I'll repeat it for those watching on Facebook who didn't hear. But Paula said that in her experience, even the calmest people can become very, very angry. And that's true. And I think it's actually an important reflection to frame this, is that anger is an emotion that we all, on some level, Barbanel says this in other places in Pirkei Avos, we've seen this a while ago, is an emotion that we all experience, right? And everybody experiences it slightly differently. And some people experience it more intensely. Some people experience it less frequently, but more intensely. Some people experience it more frequently, but less intensely, or more frequently and more intensely. Or you have all different levels of possible anger experiences. Everybody experiences it somewhat differently, but everybody experiences it. And because of that, we need to be aware that no matter who it is, no matter how calm you think they are 99% of the times, when somebody's angry, we should take a step back and realize right now they're not themselves. And I really think this is an important aspect. If you just let's broaden it from a teratza perspective, from our appeasing them, we're trying to make them feel better. Let's turn it to a different layer of this discussion, and that is in our interactions. Again, whether it's a spousal reaction, a kid, family reaction, friend reaction, dealing with our siblings, with our parents, doesn't matter. Whoever we're our boss, our coworkers, whoever we're dealing with, anger is a difficult emotion to deal with. So it's difficult for the person, and it's also difficult for the one experience, or the person who the anger is aimed at. So okay. I'm all for, and again, this is one of the things I treat often, increasing the responsibility and the burden of the person who's getting angry to change that anger. It's their job. They should work on it for sure. And I think we all should do a better job of working on our anger, because we all experience it. And it's all something that most of us, at least once or twice, have gotten trouble ourselves into trouble with our anger. So yes, for sure, working on that anger is important. But the other thing, I think, the other spin to that, the other side of that, and these are both true, is that let's isolate, almost like we did with the Rashba, isolate physical danger here. Right? When somebody's angry and they cause physical harm to somebody, we're not even coming close to excusing that at all. Or even saying that you should accept that and let it go. For sure not. For sure not. And in extreme cases of emotional abuse as well, where let's isolate the extreme cases here. But in regular, moderate cases of anger that we all tend to experience, and we all experience other people experiencing it, we all witness other people experiencing it. I think there is an important takeaway here, is that besides for their responsibility on working on their anger, sometimes we can take a step back and realize they're not themselves right now. This isn't them. This isn't them 99.9% of the times. It's them 1% of the time, 0.1% of the time, 5% of the, whatever it is, it's not them all the time. So if that's the case, and I can let it slide, as it were, realize that they're not who they are. Their brain is being hijacked. They're not thinking things straight through right now. In an hour, they might be better, and we can either talk about it or just move on, because I don't have to make the biggest deal in the world. Again, this is a, don't take this out of context. There are cases where it should be discussed and worked on, but sometimes I could just let it go, because that's not them. That's Bishas Kaso. That's not the das, that's not thinking things through, and as long as it's not that often, and it's not too damaging, and it's not that harmful, it's run-of-the-mill anger stuff, sometimes it's worth it to just let it go. Just let it go. So I think that's a different spin on this. Not just that it's Teratzu Bishas Kaso means wait till you appease them. Sometimes it might also mean just don't appease them. Just let it go. Just let it be, because that's not them most of the time. And I can put up with a few times every so often where my spouse, children, parents, siblings, coworkers, friends get angry. I can put it up with it, and I can let it go. And I can let it go. That's another layer of this, I believe, even though I don't think any Asani commentators say that explicitly. I think that we can take that away from this Mishnah as well. Okay, so I'll leave it up to you guys, since this is 3 days before Pesach. Do we want to stop here and then pick up next time talking about these other elements from the Mishnah, the other three, or do we want to try to go through the other three in the next, I don't know how long it's going to take. I sort of don't want to rush it, but you know, it's up to you. Do we have lots of time on our hands or very little time on our hands? Say it again. I think that was an accidental statement. All those who want to continue, raise your hand. All those who want to call it a day, raise your hand. Okay, so let's call it a day.